Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is February 22nd, year 2009, and it's Quinquagesima Sunday. It's also the feast day of the chair of St. Peter Antioch and of St. Paul. I'm going to speak about and we're going to explain Apocalypse chapter 16. I invoke, as always, the Holy Infant Jesus to go before me, revealing these mysteries in the book of the Apocalypse with the special intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, St. Joseph, and all the angels and saints in heaven, St. Daniel, St. John, in particular the beloved St. John, who God had given this book of the Apocalypse to. And we're going to explain Apocalypse chapter 16. Now, in this chapter, we read about the seven vials or the seven plagues that are poured out during the reign of the Antichrist. We mentioned this before, we just didn't get into the specific plagues. And these are the plagues that I'm going to be, and the other witnesses going to be throwing down upon announcing. Where this one, we also have the authority to announce other plagues as much as we want, if anybody gets in our way. But these are specific plagues that are ordained by God, that are written in the Holy Word of God, so we're going to just be announcing these things. You know, this first vial is going to be open, the second vial is going to be open, the third vial, and the fourth. And this all takes place during the reign of the Antichrist. I went over that before. You can listen to my other sermons on that. All right, and each one of these particular vials or plagues does a different thing to mess up the evildoers in the world. And at the same time, the reason God is sending these plagues down upon the world is a twofold purpose. He does it for the hope to repent of some people that are very wicked by punishing them so that they may turn back to the true God and convert from their evil ways. And then he also does it to destroy the evildoers and to just punish them out of pure punishment because he knows they're ultimately a bad will and they're not going to listen. So he does it to smite them, to humiliate them, to punish them, to show his power over the Antichrist. And so these plagues are going to have a powerful effect of also defending the few Catholics that are alive and showing that the Catholic God is the true God, the powerful God, not that wimpy Antichrist who's going to pretend to be God in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, we're just going to go over these plagues one at a time, and we're going to make some brief comments on it. We start out at Apocalypse chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the seven vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a sore and a grievous wound upon men, whom had the character of the beast, and upon them that adored the image thereof. So he's going to give everybody who's serving the Antichrist a tremendous grievous wound and sore that's going to really annoy them and cause them great pain. So everybody that's got that mark, everybody that's in the camp of the Antichrist, is serving the Antichrist, is going to get this grievous wound, and it's going to cause them great pain. And again, our Lord is hoping that some of them may repent and convert when that happens and realize if they that this prophecy is true, that means if you got that grievous wound and that grievous pain, you're in the camp of the Antichrist, even though you think you're in the camp of the Christ. See, these people aren't going to say to you, "I'm serving Antichrist." They believe he is the Christ. Remember that now. They think he's the true Messiah. We know he's the Antichrist. So when I announced that plague, and that plague that God ordained in the book of the Apocalypse, and it comes down upon people, and they get that wound and that grievous pain, know for sure you're in the camp of the Antichrist. If you got even an ounce of good will, you better convert right away and don't even wait. But most people aren't going to convert. Most people are going to curse God even more and get more angry at God and get more angry at the two witnesses. And that's why they get so angry at the witnesses, because they can't stand them, because they're casting down all these plagues and punishments upon them from God that God is sending upon the earth. So most people don't convert. So what? What does that mean to you few people that may be listening to me right now who could convert? My point when I'm reading these plagues, don't panic, don't despair if it hits you. Know and be humble and don't become proud and don't become arrogant. Convert and abjure, because some of them will. Not all of these people are going to remain obstinate. That's why God's doing this. God is merciful. Even before he destroys a person and sends them to hell, he gives them many chances. He gives them warnings. He punishes them. This is what's going on. Please, I beg of you people out there, do not be obstinate. Humble yourself and accept the true God, Christ, the Catholic Christ, and reject the monster whom you took the mark from, the Antichrist. Now, the second vial verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And there came blood, as it were, of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. He's now turning all the seas into blood. It was one of those Moses, like these are, we're sort of mimicking the 10 plagues that Moses sent down upon Egypt by the power of Almighty God. to let the Egyptians know the might of the one true God. And you got to realize it was just Moses and Aaron. He had no army. It was God working through him. This is what it's going to be like in these final days. And when they see this happening and the sea turns to blood and all the fish die in the sea, wake up. Wake up. That's the one true God doing that. Then it says, verse 4, and the third poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and there was made blood. Now he's turning the rivers and the fountains into blood. There it was just the oceans and the sea. The next one, he's now turning the fountains and the rivers to fresh water. This is even drinking water now is turning to blood. Same thing that happened during the Moses plague, when Moses threw down the plagues with the Egyptians. Then on the fifth one it says, and I heard the angel, this is what he says, and the third poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and there was made blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, thou art just, O Lord, who art and who was, the Holy One, because thou hast judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, for thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now the only thing they're going to be able to get is they're going to have to drink that blood even to get some type of to quench the thirst a little bit. So he says, they're now drinking to represent the blood of the prophets that these wicked people shed. Now you got to realize that every person who's not right with God, every person who's not in the state of grace, killed the prophets. Really, the Jews, first of all, were the primary ones that were the absolute material agents that killed most of the prophets. The Jews themselves killed their own prophets. Jesus said that in Matthew 23. And he says, which of the prophets have you not killed? Okay, so when he's feeding this blood to all the wicked people on the face of the earth, we first have to all realize that everybody who's not right with God is responsible for killing not only all the prophets from the Old Covenant era, but for killing Christ, murdering Christ, and all the saints and martyrs that died during the New Covenant era. So anybody who's in mortal sin or in original sin is guilty of all of that. All right, but in particular, the material agents, the people who actually really killed the prophets were the Jews themselves. The race whom God came to the earth as man, Jesus Christ, created the Jewish race so he can come to earth as a Jew himself, happens to be one of the worst races that actually rebelled against God. But it's not just them. Every race really in the end is evil. Very few people are good in any race. But my point is Jesus accused the Jews living in his day, of being guilty not only of his blood, but the blood of the prophets. Now they can say, what do you mean? Remember before he says, what do you mean we're going to murder you, we're going to kill you? He says, I know you're going to kill me. No. He knew their heart. He knew their secret plottings, right? But he didn't accuse them just of his own blood, because they're the ones that put Christ to death by turning him over to the Romans. And Jesus accuses them of being guilty of the blood of all the prophets. Let's read that. Matthew 23:29-32. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, that build the sepulchres of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the just, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of them that killed the prophets. You Jews are the sons of those Jews that killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, generation of vipers, how will you flee from the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will put to death and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the just blood that was shed, have been shed upon the earth from the blood of Abel, the just, even unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you killed between the temple and the altar. Our Lord is saying that these evil Jews are guilty, even going back to Abel when the Jewish race wasn't even around. Because he's saying, because you have the same evil spirit of Cain, the murderer of his brother. Cain, you have the same evil spirit. This is then incorporates all wicked people, really, are guilty of the blood of the prophets. He's particularly even laying it into the Jews even harder, because he's saying, you're the people that actually went out there and physically killed your own prophets. Read the history of the Jews. They're constantly killing all the holy people God sends them to try to convert them. Only a few Jews in any generation ever are good and remain good and die good. Most of them are ending up in hell like from any other race. But when these Jews try to say we're not guilty of the blood of Christ, Christ is accusing them not only to be guilty of the blood that they're going to do when they kill him. He says you're guilty of the blood from Abel to all the prophets even. All right? Now this is the blood we're reading about in the book of the Apocalypse right here, and where he turns all the drinking water into blood. He says, now drink the blood, all you that are guilty. And especially doubly guilty are the Jews, and quadruply guilty are the nominal Catholics. They're even worse than the Jews. All these people we're talking about here, whether they're Jews or nominal Catholics or bad Catholics or Buddhists or Hindus or pagans, they're all evil. And they're all guilty of murdering Christ. But the Jews are even more guilty, and the Catholics are even more, nominal Catholics are even more guilty than that. So this is the blood our Lord is giving them to punish them, because they shed the blood of all the prophets and all the just men that spoke for God. Then we read in verse 7, it says, "And I heard another from the altar saying, Yea, O Lord God Almighty, true and just are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and it was given on him to afflict men with heat and fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who hath power over these plagues, neither did they penance to give him glory." Very powerful. He now allows the sun to get so hot that it starts burning up the earth. Probably you'll even see it move close to the earth, moving down close enough to the earth so it gets hot enough to start singeing, scorching, burning the earth. There's your global warming, folks. There's your global warming. It's coming right around the corner. It ain't got nothing to do with greenhouse gases. Those guys are a bunch of hot air. I always say this. Look, yeah, you have to be true, take care of the earth God gave you. I'm not against that. But these guys idolize the earth. They always go too far. The righties and the lefties are right and wrong on certain things on different issues, alright? These guys are idolizing the earth. They're lying about the true effect of this thing, just to scare people. Maybe when this plague gets thrown down, they're going to say greenhouse effect, but I'm going to announce that plague, and it's going to happen, and it's in the book of the Apocalypse, and it ain't got nothing to do about greenhouse effect. Because once that's over, the sun's going to back off and stop scorching the earth. We even talk about that down here in these deserts, and we just had a cold spell in the United States during this, in the summer we did, it was, wasn't it? In the summer?
In the winter,
it was unusual for the South. You know, so where's the greenhouse effect, you idiots? Anyway, look what he says here. He's going to allow the sun probably to approach closer to the earth so it can scorch it, or he could just increase the heat given off by the sun. He can do it either way. And then it's going to start scorching a great part of the earth and causing great pain amongst the people from the great heat that's given off from the sun. And the sad part is, he's saying, who has power over these plagues? God, the Catholic God, who is Jesus Christ, the God who gave the book of the Apocalypse to St. John. You know that because you read the Apocalypse. It's Jesus is God's. And he's given John these revelations, and the power is coming from the Catholic God. Not the Talmudic Jewish God, small g, who's going to be the Antichrist sitting in the third temple in Jerusalem. It ain't been coming from him. You understand, this guy's a phony. But the saddest part, what you read about here, is neither did they penance to give him glory. They hate God so much. No matter how much he punishes them, or even how much he rewards people. If you hate God, you hate God, and if you're a bad-willed soul, you're a bad-willed soul, and you're never going to convert, you're never going to repent, and you're never going to love God. If he let you live for an eternity and gave you all these chances, you're never going to do it. They even say if God ever let these eternal reprobates into heaven, they would hate him forever. They would never repent and convert. They hate him so much, and they're going, instead of repenting because of their arrogancy, because of their pride, they're going to actually curse him. Now you can see the people getting really angry at the two witnesses and the few Catholics, us Catholics that are good Catholics, very angry at us. Good. That's what we want. This is what we say when I used to play football. You used to train and you used to work out. You do the double sessions, and it was very, very tough work. But you couldn't wait till you get into the game. You know, when you get that first hit, you know, you go in there, and once you get that first hit, then all of a sudden the game is on. Okay, all right. So when this starts happening, the war is on. Our Catholic God is now manifesting his power to the whole earth so that people may know that there is a God upon the earth that is just and judges men and punishes them for their sins and rewards the just. And his name is the Catholic God, the most holy Trinity God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Catholic Christ. And you're going to know that. Most people aren't going to like it. Most people are going to continue to hate him. Most people are going to continue to lie about him and say he's the Antichrist. Well, they're going to call their Antichrist the Christ. I say, mate, that's their problem, not ours. Okay, God's here. Well, I'm here to save my own soul and then to help save the souls of others. First to give glory to God. And that's how I save my soul. And then to save the souls of those out there who are of goodwill. Wherever they may be. So that's what all this preaching is for. Now, it goes on. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom became dark. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. The seat of the beast. That's Jerusalem. That's the third temple. That's where the Antichrist is going to be ruling the world from. Apostate Jerusalem. And evidently, not only does it become dark, God also sends some type of a pain upon them, so they're gnawing with their tongues, they're even biting their tongues to try to get away from the pain that's given to their body. They're like biting your tongue, even biting through your tongue, because the pain that's given to you is so great. So they're going to be under a great pain. All right, and he's going to darken the seat of the beast. Mr. Wise Guy, Mr. Antichrist. When that happens, let's see you lift that plague if you're God. God, let's see you lift that plague. Let's see you make it light. Let's see you make the pain go away that our true God is going to throw down upon you when that happens. And what does it say when that happens to them? Do they repent? Verse 11. And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and wounds. And they did not penance for their works. They did not repent. They didn't do penance. See, what happened with Moses when he went up against Pharaoh? Pharaoh is your typical example of an obstinately evil man. And now we're looking here that the kingdom of the beast is going to be darkened. The people who they think is the Christ. Let's see if he can lift these plagues. Let's see if he can alleviate them. Remember they tried to challenge Moses? And Moses always one-upped them because the true God is with him. And the so-called miracles that these black magicians were doing for Pharaoh were nothing more than tricks or preternatural activity that the devil knows about. Where they weren't true miracles. The true God always one-upped them. You see? Now let's read about the sixth plague. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates and dried up the water thereof, that a way might be prepared for the kings from the rising of the sun. Now we're getting an idea. God's telling us who's going to be fighting on his side, Christ. Who's going to be fighting on his side against the Antichrist? These kings that are coming from the rising of the sun. God's drying up the river Euphrates so that they can cross over that river and fight the Antichrist. Now that means two things. These kings will already have been converted and they're Catholic along with the army that they're coming with. Or these kings are going to be at least like King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians, whom have some goodwill, are the lesser of the evils, whom God's going to use to fight against the Antichrist. In either case, even if let's say it's these kings from the rising of the sun are like Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, there's going to be some of them converting when they look at what goes on at Armageddon. If they're at least fighting for the Catholic God is directing them to fight for him, they're going to get benefit from that. Just like Nebuchadnezzar got benefit. Nebuchadnezzar converted before he died and accepted the true God, along with quite a few Babylonians. We don't know how many, but we know they even converted. But we know one thing when you're reading this. These kings from the rising of the sun are going against the Antichrist. He's drying up the river Euphrates so they can make it easier for them to pass over and then and go to Armageddon, to Kidron Valley, and get ready for the final battle and surround apostate Jerusalem. Now, you're going to find out, I'm going to mention who these kings are. And we're going to show you how the apostate Jews have seeded false prophecies amongst even these Christian Zionists to turn the tables around and make the bad guys the good guys and the good guys the bad guys. Remember as Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to you who call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness." Well, I just start out and tell you that at least two of these nations that we know are going to be converted at this time is going to be China and Russia. And I believe that, and we're talking about three particular groups of people here. And the reason I say three of these kings and these nations, I'm not saying the whole nation's going to convert, but they're going to be at least a lot of these people that are from the Chinese and from the Russians. Now, I believe that a lot of these people are already going to be converted to Christ, but they don't have to all be converted to Christ. He could still use these kings like he used Nebuchadnezzar. The reason I'm talking about three kings here is because Daniel, in chapter 7, verse 8 and 20, talks about, remember we spoke about this the other day, the Antichrist is going to use 10 kings. Before he comes to power, these 10 kings are going to do the dirty work, and then after they do the dirty work and subdue the earth for the Antichrist, he then comes out and shows himself in the temple and demands worldwide adoration. But first these 10 kings go out and do the dirty work. He comes in and tries to play the hero and stop them from excessive bloodshed. So what we're talking about here is in Daniel 7, he talks about that three of these kings that helped bring him to power, he's going to usurp them. Why is he going to usurp these three kings? Because they're ultimately not going to want to obey him in everything. They're going to say, no, look, we did this, but I ain't going to go that far. I ain't going to worship or obey you because there's a lot of things that you're doing I don't like. Let's take, for example, definitely part two of those kings are going to be China and Russia. Communist China. Communist Russia. Red China, red Russia. Not the liberals in Russia and China that they allowed who feign capitalism, you know, so that they can get economic power and dominate the world. The Chinese did this as a ploy. You know, to be able to draw away the economic power from the United States, and they sacrifice some of their own people to liberalism and Americanism, but the communists are still in power, and even in Russia. And they're going to be the main military force that's going to come in here and conquer the United States and South America. Definitely, as a fact, China is going to be in New Mexico and the Southwest area. They may even, and I don't know this for sure, but I know they're going to be where we are. The Chinese are definitely going to be in here, and they're already slated to occupy this area. Maybe even the whole United States. I don't know if the whole United States, but definitely the Southwest, and maybe even the whole United States. And then you're going to have Russia is going to be given South America, Red Russia. Now, this has already been signed up. When Nixon went over there to make a pact with China, they already knew about this, folks. This is nothing new in the eyes of the Antichrist, the people that are serving him. They already know how this is going to work out. They already planned it. They already plotted it. So they are going to use the Chinese to come over here and invade the United States because they're very populist people. And they're going to keep guard on every household and all that. And us Catholics that are alive at that time, we're going to submit to the Chinese. And we're going to serve them humbly. And we're going to understand that God's sending them in here as a punishment to this harlot, to destroy her. And bad as those Chinese are going to be, they're not going to be one-tenth as bad as these evil feminists and homos and all. They're going to kill the homos and the feminists and all that's Chinese. So they're going to be doing us a favor. Because bad as they are, they don't have effeminacy, they don't have feminism, and they don't have homosexuality and all that. They're going to be actually purifying the United States at the same time. Now, this is where they're going to split eventually with the Antichrist, because he supports homosexuality and immorality. He's so bad, the Red Chinese aren't even going to accept this guy. Bad as they are. Now, they're real bad area. Abortion they support. They're atheists. They don't even believe God at all. In a way, this could work to their advantage in this case, because they're going to say, I'm not going to worship you, Mr. Antichrist, as God, because we believe there is no God. All right? And I'm not going to submit to your homosexuality, because us Chinese hate homosexuality. I'm not going to submit to your rule that women can still dominate home, because we don't, although the Antichrist, I think, is going to himself get rid of feminism. So that one's going to be unanimous. But there's other things the Antichrist is going to be doing that the Red Chinese and the Red Russians are not going to go along with. They are not going to lay down and completely lay over and roll over for this guy. They're going to serve him up to the point that they invade the United States, China, Russia invades South America, the Red China, Red Russia, dominate it and conquer it. The Antichrist comes to power and tells him hold back and tries to play the hero, but then the Russians and the Chinese give him problems. He usurps them. How does he usurp them? He could either kill their top leader or just excommunicate them from the world community and declare war against them. That's where they are then going to be supporting us. Like the Babylonians supported Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. You notice how God turned the heart of the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar to favor the good Jews and to punish the wicked Jews. That's what the Chinese are going to represent to us, at least here in New Mexico and the Russians in South America. And even though they may not be converted right away, and even though some of us may have to die as martyrs under the Chinese and under the Russians in the beginning, because they're going to test us and we're going to witness to them, but we're not going to oppose their occupation. We are going to submit to it without any force, and we're going to even welcome it, because it's the will of God. Because it's God's instrument in which he's using to punish the United States, and I will even rejoice in that day. Even if we have to go at it in the beginning with the Chinese to testify to our God, which we will do. They may arrest a few of us and put bamboos under our fingernails and torture us to try to refute our God, and we will stay firm and die as martyrs, and then God will do a couple miracles, and guess what? You got Chinese converting, pal. You got Chinese converting to the Catholic God. Because in the end, there's another verse in Scripture that says, even King David in his day, which is a parallel, he says, Lord, your own people rejected you, the Jews, from the northern tribes and from the southern tribes, the northern tribe of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah. All your people have rejected you. As strange people came whom I've not known, who had a strange language, and they accepted you. That's what are we talking about today? Right? Here's what I could say. Lord God, your own people have rejected you. Nominal Catholics throughout the world are no longer true Catholics anymore, even though they profess they're Catholics. They have all apostatized from the faith. All of Europe, every Catholic nation, all the Jews from the past have apostatized. God will now turn over to a strange nation, the Chinese. And that includes Vietnam And that includes North Korea. They're going to be in here with China too. They're all one group there. All right? And God's now going to open his graces to them. And some of the Muslim nations that also are resisting the Antichrist. And he's also can convert Jews too. We know about that. But we're going to concentrate in this sermon on the kings from the rising of the sun. That clearly, from the verse I just read to you in the book of the Apocalypse, are fighting against the Antichrist. Now, the ploy that the devil's used, and I knew this right from the beginning, and I didn't even know about these prophecies yet. This goes back several years. When I was in the Most Holy Family Monastery with that apostate bum, Michael Diamond, that little wimpy bum. Committed many sins myself for staying here much too long, knowing how bad he was, you know. But I'm not going to talk about that now. But I will say one thing. This kid is such a wimp. This kid is such a coward. He always wants to say the most popular thing, and he doesn't want to go so far as to lose his whole audience. All right. So in the beginning, the hardest thing I had with him was talking against the Jews. He was always blaming everything on the Freemasons. I said, they're just puppets, man. The Jews are the major power. If you don't talk about the Jews, you're a wimp. And the one thing he did talk against the Jews on his End Time Prophecy 2 or 3 tape, I had to sit in the next room watching him to make sure he included that part in there because he wasn't going to do it. That's how scared he was. I says, if you don't put that part in there about the Jews, I'm leaving the monastery now. That's how weak he was. But in his End Time Prophecy 1, he came out with your typical Christian Zionist misinterpretation of the final days. Gog and Magog is Russia and the Russian powers and maybe China too. And in the end, the Antichrist is going to come from Russia or from China, and he's going to circle Jerusalem, and he's going to fight against God's chosen people, but then God's chosen people are going to raise up and kill him. And I went, well, I got a big problem with that. The people in Jerusalem are Talmudic Jews, apostate Jews that don't believe in Jesus Christ. They hate him. You got these guys being the heroes. Now, I said, maybe they're both. Okay, you want to say the Russians are evil, and they're evil, but don't be casting these apostate Jews as the heroes, because these people that are going to be conquered in the end are God's good chosen people. It has to be Catholics. Good Catholics. It can't be anybody else but that. Jerusalem is occupied by who? They're the most evil people in the world, second to nominal Catholics. So how could you be saying that Russia is the big bad guy? You want to call him a bad guy? Fine. Call him the big bad guy. You're wrong. He's not the big bad guy. China's not the big bad guy. Jesus told us where the Antichrist is coming from. He's coming from the Jews. The Jews are the ones that are bringing him to power. He said it in John 5:43, I come in the name of the Father and you receive me not. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. So I hated that problem. I said, brother, like, this is stupid. Stop it with this Russian thing. They're not the big bad guys anyway. Bad as they are, because the Jews use communism and capitalism, communism and democracy to corrupt the world from different ends. The communists played the bad guys. The democracy played the good guys, but they're all bad. And they're all evil. And they all work to the same end. But when you start singling out just the communists as the big bad guys, I had a big problem with that. I says, not only does that not fit prophecy, it's a complete opposite. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going to be the home of the Antichrist, not the Russians. Now, here's a point I'm going to make on this. This is big on the Christian Zionists. And they talk about Russia joining together with the Middle Eastern Muslim states or the Arab states, and they're all going to come against this Jerusalem. Now, at best, you can say, evildoers are fighting evildoers, but please do not place the people in Jerusalem as the heroes whom God's going to come to defend. And that's what they do. Then I sat back and I said, now I'm looking at this prophecy where God really is going to convert Russians. I'm not saying he can convert all Russians, but he's going to be using the Russians and the Chinese to be fighting in his earthly army. That's where you're going to get it. Europe is done for, folks. They're in the camp of the Antichrist till the end. God's abandoned Europe completely. They're never going to be restored. They're done. Their cathedrals and churches are going to be destroyed, and they're never going to be restored again. God has turned his back upon them, and that's the end of it. To the end of time, they will never be restored. That's why he's turning to these other people. So how does it fit? Yeah, we do have the communists being used by the Jews to do the dirty work. And the communists even know it. But we also know that Jews don't have an iron grip upon Red China and Red Russia like they do the other countries. They know they have, even the harlot, Hillary Clinton went over there, a harlot, to speak in China, and she's trying to make friends with them. She was afraid to talk out against human rights violations. She was talking about how we're friends and all. They're very afraid of China. Why? Because the devil knows prophecy too. The devil knows prophecy too. He knows the Russians and the Chinese are going to be a positive element in these final days fighting against the Antichrist, so he sees false prophecy. He casts the Russians and the Chinese as the big evildoers. All you got to just do is look at the United States and all the evil things she's doing, and she is definitely, this harlot, the evilest entity that ever lived on the face of this whole earth. Compared to any other country, bad as these other people are, they're not as bad as the United States and the harlot. But anyway, the Jews are using, yes, communism on this other end to do the real hard type of battles out front, in your face type of battles. But the United States still does that also. She only pretends to be the good guy. And they're all working to the same end. But in the end, the United States even is being betrayed by these 10 kings. So we're not talking about just China and Russia as part of, we're talking about Europe too, is in this pact. I believe Canada is going to remain untouched because they're part of the EU already, almost. I don't know if they're in the EU, but they're more European. They already got those laws. They're under the grip of the Antichrist. So you're talking about, in particular, definitely I know as a fact China is going to be here in New Mexico, and that's going to include even your North Koreans and your Vietnamese, your communists, your red Chinese. And the Russians were already divvied up to give in South America. That's going to be their lot. But when they come to power, the Antichrist knows he's not going to be able to completely bridle them into his service. They're going to rebel. He's going to usurp their authority, declare him excommunicate from the world community. Whether he replaces him with three other kings, he probably will. Puppet governments from the Russian and Chinese. In exile, he will. But now you're already seeing what type of an earthly army is going to be fighting for Christ at Armageddon. And it doesn't mean that army even has to be led by a Catholic or a Catholic army. It could be like a Nebuchadnezzar army. But I happen to believe, and it's just my opinion, we'll find out how it turns out, you are going to convert even these leaders. And you can have, and any goodwill people in the United States, this is sermons for you too. Some of these generals in the United States that know that the United States is not what it pretended to be. It's not this utopia. It's a real false entity right from the beginning. That the Constitution is heretical. That religious liberty is wrong. That they've been fighting on the wrong side all this time. So I'm talking to these generals and these military guys that are fed up with a lot of the lies that are going on in the United States. I tell them too. Submit to these Chinese and don't fight against them when they come in here. And then they will favor you and they will not destroy you and you will be able to, and that's only, and that means too, you have to become Catholic ultimately to be with us. All right? Because God is going to punish this country. And so you're going to have even convert, some of these United States citizens are going to wake up and throw out this stupid patriotism to this harlot of this country and realize this country was evil from day one and come into the Catholic Church. And the Chinese, when God does a few miracles over here, once these Chinese are on this property and they're on this land and we submit to them and we serve them because it's God's will and they see that, because they're more orderly than the United States people, they really will be on the natural plane, even though they're still sinners. God does a couple miracles for the Chinese, heals a couple of their soldiers that are wounded, just does a miracle, a massive miracle in the sky that they can see, and you got Chinese converting. And then you got the Chinese fighting on your side. And that's what we're talking, and the Russians too. And there's a third king they talk about. Now, I just said before, that cannot be the Middle Eastern king, because they're not serving them anyway. I don't know who that third king is yet. I'm not quite sure, but it's going to be somebody who right now, even today, is serving the Antichrist. And he's going to also be usurped, because he's not going to go along with it either. So if God gives me any type of inspiration on that, or I'm not positive, I'll give you an opinion on it, I don't know yet. But there's still a third king, a third nation, that will also rebel against the Antichrist, and is not going to continue serving him. I don't know who that is right now, but we're now concentrating on China and Russia, Red China. When I say Red China, I mean also North Korea and Vietnam and these Indonesian communist countries. And that fulfills the prophecy here of what we're reading. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates and dried up the water thereof, that a way might be prepared for the kings from the rising of the sun. These kings are coming as, these are plagues, folks. This is a strange kind of plague, because this plague only really dried up the river, but for another purpose. The plague really comes, or the punishment comes from the kings of the rising of the sun. And then look at the Euphrates on the map and go east of that, and you're in Iran, then you're in China, and even Russia. Part of Russia touches down there, and they're going to be coming down that way. Okay. So now, it says, right after that, it says, and I saw from the mouth of the dragon, Satan, and from the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and from the mouth of the false prophet, an apostate bishop of the so-called Catholic Church who's going to completely flip over and serve the Antichrist. I believe it's going to be one of these apostate antipopes of the Vatican II Church who's going to completely give his allegiance over. That's a false prophet. So we're talking about the three main evil characters, real people alive in these days. And he says, and I saw from the mouth of the dragon, and from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet, Three unclean spirits like the frogs. For they are the spirits of devils, working signs, and they go forth unto the kings of the whole earth to gather them to battle against the great day of Almighty God, Armageddon. They are gathering together for the final battle. He sees the king coming from the rising of the sun. He beckons all his kings that are serving him now. Come, meet at Armageddon. The war is on. We got it. And if you're talking about it, they're going against an earthly army from the kings that are rising of the sun. Now, at the same time, there's going to be another battle going on in heaven. And the Blessed Mother's really the head of this whole army. The Blessed Mother's going to be the one who leads the battle at Armageddon. She's going to be seen up in the heavens. And she's going to be following her, going to be saints and angels fighting in heaven against devils. And also helping us on earth. It's going to be the Blessed Mother who does that, wins that battle. You're not going to see Christ yet. Mary comes first, as always. First comes Mary, then comes Christ. Mary's going to be seen in the heavens with this heavenly army of saints and angels at Armageddon along with Christ's earthly army, which is going to be from the kings of the rising of the sun. You're going to see all these other kings being gathered together by the Antichrist that are serving him at Armageddon also. And he's going to have Satan and his fallen angels, devils, and demons, damned humans, fighting this battle in the air. You're going to see it. It's going to be a heavenly and it's going to be an earthly battle going on at Armageddon. It's going to be the battle of all battles going on. And you're reading about it. When he sees the Euphrates dried up, and he sees the kings from the rising of the sun crossing the Euphrates, coming for war, he gathers his people. So how does that figure China and Russia? You understand? Alone. From the east. Maybe Russia, you can say, because they're not completely east of Euphrates, but a part of them is. But it doesn't figure. The reason that they're putting Russia as the ultimate bad guys in Chinese tells me they're going to do something very good in these days. I'm not saying they're going to all convert. No all nations ever convert. Very few people from any nation are ever going to convert. But still, the main leaders and some of the power brokers in China and Russia are going to convert and become good Catholics. Or even if they don't convert right away, like Nebuchadnezzar, they may convert later on. But it's a fact that these kings from the rising of the sun are fighting against the Antichrist. And then when he sees that happen, that plague, and the Euphrates dries up, he's going to start gathering together his kings, and he's going to get ready to meet them in Armageddon, which is a Kidron Valley, which is the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where this battle is going to take place. You're reading about that with the sixth plague and the sixth vial. Then we go on, and it says about this. We're still going on under the sixth plague time. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they shall, and he shall gather them together into a place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon." This is all the same six vials, six plague. Here's your Armageddon battle. Here's your forces. Christian Zionists lie. They try to tell you the kings from the rising of the sun are the evil entities. But how could it be? Right after that, it says the Antichrist, the beast, gathers his armies to go against these kings from the rising of the sun. It's clear. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. But because they want to support these Jews, because they love the world more than they love God, because they love materialism and greed, and because they rejected the true teachings of the Catholic Church, these Protestants, these Christian Zionists are getting what they deserve. But look what it says here again. And we'll read it again, that whole verse, how powerful that is. From 12 to 16. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates and dried up the water thereof, that a way might be prepared for the kings from the rising of the sun. And I saw from the mouth of the dragon and from the mouth of the beast and from the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs, and for there are spirits of devils working signs, and they shall go forth unto the kings of the whole earth to gather them to battle against the great day of Almighty God." Kings of the whole earth, not just the kings from the rising of the sun. Kings from the rising of the sun are going to be fighting against him. If there's no earthly army, who's he fighting against? Am I right? Who's he gathering together to fight against? There's got to be an earthly army. Our scriptures tell us coming from the kings of the rising of the sun. China, I believe Russia too. And that includes North Vietnam. And Vietnam, I think, is all communist. And even North Korea and any other type of communist countries in that oriental bloc over there. And there's going to be a third nation also that's going to be fighting in this army that I don't know about yet. That's going to be one of the kings that's, as I mentioned before, that serves the Antichrist to take over the world, but then he gets usurped. So I don't know who the third one is. But we know fact here, when Antichrist sees the river dry up and these nations coming over, this is, and Jesus then says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame, and he shall gather them together into the place," in Hebrew it's just called Armageddon. And what's going to look very, it looks bad for these kings from the rising in the east, militarily wise, because they're outnumbered. They don't have as many people as all these other kings that are going to be gathered together, because you're not even going to get all the Chinese and all the Russians. You're going to get some of them, but it's going to be, from all appearances, they're going to definitely be outnumbered. So they're going to need help from the Catholic God to win the battle. And that's when they kill the two witnesses, and the witnesses are resurrected, and the earthquake takes place, and the coup happens in Jerusalem. They're going to be already gathered around Armageddon looking at this event. And it's going to give them confidence upon the resurrection, let alone it's going to panic the Antichrist army. They're going to start turning against one another. I mentioned that before. They're going to be converting some of them and actually going against the people they were getting ready to fight for. And then Blessed Mother's going to appear in heaven also with the saints and the angels. And she's going to be fighting Satan and his demons and the damned humans, along with also fighting on earth. She's going to send even her angels and saints down on earth to help the people at Armageddon. But I'll tell you one thing I just want to press upon you when you're reading this. Do not listen to these bastards that are casting the Russians as the ultimate bad guys or the Chinese. That's why you see them panicking in Russia. Now, right now, people say Putin kicked out these Russian oligarchs. And he did. Because why? Because they're secular Zionists. They're not religious Zionists. And religious Zionists are necessary to take power. So the Russians right now and Chinese are really playing ball with the Antichrist for their own benefit, because for what they can get out of it. What was promised to them when Nixon went over there? What was promised to them even before, after World War II? They were promised China, the USA, and Russia, South America, and they know it. It's already done deal. It's been done deal long ago. And they know that's going to happen. And in the meantime, when the Jews are getting ready to have the financial crash in the United States, you're shifting all their assets over to China. And then when they already, then you watch what's going to happen. When they know China's going to usurp them, they're going to shift their assets out of China into another country. The Jews are always doing this anyway. Putin really does speak out against a lot of Jews, but he's still friendly with some of these religious Orthodox Jews. He hasn't kicked them all out. So in the background, Putin's doing what he needs to do. Wise as a serpent, simple as a dove. But they know in the back of their mind, Putin's not going to ultimately go along with their plans. Putin's not in power now. There's another guy, but they say Putin's really in power. He's running this guy. But and the Chinese ultimately are not going to go along with the Antichrist. So they're even going to have to usurp them. All right. So and it says this is all this. So plague 16, when the sixth plague and vials poured out, that's when the Armageddon gathering starts. Then it says on the seventh plague, and the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders, and there was a great earthquake such as one as never had been since men were upon the earth, such an earthquake so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. So I'm going to read on. This is when the two witnesses are resurrected. When the two witnesses are resurrected, the seventh vial is poured out. Their resurrection is actually their last calling down of the last plague. And that's the seventh vial and the seventh plague poured out by the seventh angel. So now they're gathered together at Armageddon waiting to battle. The witnesses have been arrested. The witnesses have been killed. They're laying in the street for 3.5 days. All the Antichrist armies are really celebrating. I said it before. They're not only ready to beat up Christ's earthly army, they're ready to beat Christ himself and his heavenly army, the Blessed Mother, and the army she's going to be leading. They're ready. We can take them all, because we took the two witnesses. They're weak. Their God is weak. I already mentioned that. Okay? Now, look what happens when the seventh vial is poured out, and it happens right within 1 hour, really, after the witnesses are resurrected, because it says within 1 hour in other verses, after the witnesses are resurrected, within 1 hour of the resurrection, these things take place. And when these things start to take place, it's the seventh plague. Let's read it again. And the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. It is done. What does that mean? It is done. The blood of the last prophets have been shed. Remember they said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou wait to avenge our blood that was shed upon the earth? Wait until the blood of the last prophets is shed upon the earth. It is done. They're now resurrected up. And it says, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders, and there was a great earthquake, such as one as has never had been since men were upon the earth. Such an earthquake so great. And the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the Gentiles fell. And the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the indignation of his wrath. Now this Babylon means the whole evil earth itself, not the United States. She's already destroyed. This Babylon now means the whole evil earth that's been serving the Antichrist, all the kings, because they took the place of the harlot when she was destroyed. And it says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail like a talent came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God for the plague of that hail, because it was exceedingly great. See, because these people are in Armageddon now. All this is happening. They're right outside. They're in Valley of Jehoshaphat. Look in the city, split in three parts. A tenth of the city gets destroyed. This is going to cause all the people that are serving the Antichrist at Armageddon to panic. Some of them are convert. And this is where the Christ's earthly army gets confidence, and they end up being victorious. These signs, first of all, just panic the Antichrist army, because their whole home base is destroyed. Later on, when it goes on and says, it says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. That's when Christ appears in the heavens later on, which we recall, if I get my days right, the witnesses on 1260. Christ appears 34th day, about 33 days later, he appears. Then he goes on to say in the book of the Apocalypse that this seventh plague really is the wrapping up of everything. It's Christ appearing in heaven. It's the stars falling, the earth burning, and the islands disappearing. And when he says that the Babylon came to remembrance, he's talking to now about all the evil kings that serve the Antichrist that are left upon the face of the earth. And the earthquake that takes place in Jerusalem happens within 1 hour after the witnesses. This the victory takes place at Armageddon. The Antichrist runs into hiding. He's killed 30 days later, 3 days of darkness. That 33 days later, then a Christ appears in the heavens, and that's when verse 20 gets fulfilled. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail like a talent came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God for a plague of hail, because it was exceeding great. I think there's another verse in here somewhere, I'm not positive, where hail comes down also, join at Armageddon also. But this is a hail that's taking place, that when Christ appears in heaven, we now know there's another, I don't think I mentioned this yet, but you also have hail hitting people. Big hail balls hitting people. But right here, the Armageddon, the great city was split into three parts. These people that have Jerusalem being the heroes, conquering the Russians and the Chinese, here's God himself destroying Jerusalem. The city where the two witnesses were murdered. Not in Moscow. Not in Peking. It's in Jerusalem. So let's straighten out prophecy here and get your head on straight, folks. So you're on the right side, and you understand what's going on here, how these Jews are lying to you. The great city was divided, that's Jerusalem. Gentile cities are going to fall. Okay? And then, so evidently we're reading that here from this whole seventh seal prophecy is the wrapping up of the world. Starting with, really, the defeated Armageddon. And it starts really with the resurrection of the two witnesses, because as I said before, that marks the end of the reign of the Antichrist, because that is his end. So now you understand about these seven last plagues that are going to happen. It's the word of God. You better be on the right side when these takes place and stop idolizing these apostate Jews and thinking that God's using them for some good purpose. He isn't. They're utterly evil. And they're the ones that are bringing the Antichrist to power. The one you want to concentrate on a lot is that sixth vial and the king's going to rise into the sun. And I tell all the people now that when the Chinese come in here, do not resist them. Throw down your arms and help them. And submit yourself under the yoke and rejoice. Because this harlot of the United States of America, God's going to use them to punish this country. And as wicked as these Chinese people are, they're not near as wicked as the capitalistic, democratic, liberalistic, filthy, stinking, not only the United States, but wherever she's infected her infections. She's even infected the cities in China. And China did this on purpose to feign to get the money. It's one of the, they sacrifice their own people. But I know, you look at these documentaries. The Chinese that are out in the country hate this. Their kids are turning into a bunch of freaks. Their kids are singing rap music. Their kids are taking drugs. Their kids are like reprobates to the highest degree. And when you see that coming out of China, oh, that's horrible. Bad as communist China was, when they were in power, they didn't even let people hold hands in the street or kiss in the street. They didn't like a lot of this stuff. They hated disrespect or filthy talking and all that. Now, I'm not making excuses to the Red Chinese and the communists. They're atheists. They abort babies and all that, so they got a lot of evils on their own. But all I'm telling you is they're not as evil as these other people in the eyes of God. And God's going to use the Chinese and the Russian and some other third nation I don't know about yet, even though they're going to be serving the Antichrist in the beginning. They're going to be part of those 10 kings taking over the world. He's going to usurp three of them. And I'll just end up by mentioning one thing. You're also going to have Arab nations that are going to be with us. They're never going to serve the Antichrist. They're not even serving them now. And we're talking about countries like Iran. And you can really look at Iran right now as being a very good positive type of thing where God's going to convert these Muslims, because God also told me he's going to convert a lot of Muslims. So we're going to get Muslim conversions from Iran, from Iraq, from Ethiopia. And I think there's Muslims down there. I think you're Ethiopians too, but you got even Egyptians is what I was going to say. They're Egyptians too. But you're going to get some of these Middle Eastern countries also converting, and they're going to be fighting in Christ's earthly army. But the reason I don't incorporate them with the original three kings, because they're never with the Antichrist. These three particular kings, like Russia and China, we're talking about, are right now with the Antichrist, and they are working with them. They're definitely working with him. And he's going to use them. But he also knows he's not ultimately going to be able to have them bow down ultimately and give their allegiance to the Antichrist. So he usurps them. So you people got a little something to understand what's going to be going on here. I don't know if I mentioned it in another sermon. I'll mention it here. When the Chinese come in here, there's so many Chinese in China. There's going to be a Chinese on every block guarding it, almost in every house watching the people. You're going to be under the Chinese captivity. And this thing has already been slated. When Nixon went over to make that pact with China, he already knew it. This goes back to, I'm sure they at least knew about this from after World War II. But the devil even knew about it even long before that. So this is already a backroom deal that's been signed up. And it's going to happen. And so he's going to use the Chinese possibly to take over the whole of the United States. I'm not sure about that. But I know he's going to be in the southwest where we are. That's a fact. I know that. And I believe the Russians are also going to be given South America. How much of that? Does it go up to Mexico? Possibly. You know, where are the Chinese going to invade from? The Russians are going to have them free pass through Mexico, and they're going to come up. And Canada's probably going to let them come in from the north. So you're going to get a pincer. And now, whether some of these other European nations are going to divvy up parts of America? Possibly. I don't know about that for sure. But I know the Chinese are definitely, and the Chinese are the ones that have the capacity to police a big state like this, because they have a lot of people, a great population. All right? So our point is, and I think we should specifically pray, especially for the Chinese and the Russians, and whoever these other, and that means North Vietnam and Vietnam and North Korea and the Russians and the Middle East countries, because we know that they're going to be convert a lot of, not all of them, but there's going to be conversions. God may convert their military leaders and their rulers, and they're going to be fighting for Christ in the end. All right, so we have to pray especially for them. All right, and when they come in here, I'm just warning people, don't go running around trying to get your guns and start shooting these Chinese and everything. Lay down your guns and welcome them. Because bad as they are, and I'll say it again and again and again, I'd rather be under a communist country where we're going to butt heads. Where he's not going to lie about what he believes in, and I'm not going to lie about what I believe in, which means he's either going to martyr me and I go right to heaven, and that's fine with me, but there's going to be no illusions between what we believe in. I believe in the true God. I'm never going to stop confessing him. You're an atheistic. You're on the road to hell. You're not pleasing to the true God, and he's never going to buckle on his, neither am I. I'd rather have that kind of a country than this kind of country that pretends to give everybody this religious liberty, which is not even a truthful thing, because there is really no such thing as it, under the illusion of religious liberty, where you're really being crushed while you're under the oppression. You're not being crushed. True religion cannot be practiced in here any more than it could be practiced in Russia. They have different ways of persecuting you in the United States if you're a true Catholic. But it's the same persecution. It's even worse in this country because they'll make a backroom deal where you can't get a job anywhere in the world. You're going to be a poor person. They'll throw you out in the street. You can't work nowhere. They'll even try to kill you. They'll try to blackmail you. They'll try to assassinate you, scandalize you, lock you in jail for some. Look what happened to Rick Gonzalez. Go ahead. You say that this democracy is fair? Look what happened to Rick Gonzalez when he said, Merry Christmas, Jews killed Christ, and they kicked him out of his job. What's the difference? I'd rather have a communist country that says, you do that, we're going to kill you. Fine, kill me. Right out in the open. So anyway, this is what we have to look forward to. And I also warn these people who are idolizing Europe, and they think there's going to be some type of restoration. You bums don't deserve an ounce of restoration. God's going to level every Catholic place in Europe down either like a parking lot, or the Antichrist is going to take it over and turn it into one of his places. And I don't think he's even going to do that. I don't think he wants people even to look at these places to even remember what they once were. And Europe is done for. There will be no restoration unto the end. They're done. They're going to serve the Antichrist. And I'm talking about the European nations. And they're already in the clutches of the Antichrist, and they're going to get what they deserve. I warn people in Europe right now, if you have any power to get yourself over to New Mexico, you better do it now. I'm warning you. You can't say I didn't warn you. Now, maybe if there's a few that can't get over here, God's going to give you some safe havens in Europe. I'm not saying that may not happen, where you're going to have to hide out in a mountain somewhere. But I'm telling you, I don't know of any such places. It's not that there can't be. But I would say if it's within your power to get to New Mexico, it's God's definite will that you do what you could to move around here, because this is going to be the home base where the battle takes place here in New Mexico. And the Chinese are going to convert over, and they're going to be our defenders. Even though in the beginning we may not even agree, like Nebuchadnezzar was and Daniel, he favored the Jews even though we didn't convert right away. You're probably going to have that type of a situation in the beginning where we're going to be coexisting together and they're going to actually be supporting us even though we're denouncing them too. You know, but we're not going to be causing them any trouble because they're not going to cause us any trouble. You see, they're going to allow us to preach even and all that. So you're going to see a lot of this happening. So this is a very important sermon for people to be aware of that. Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.